Welcome to the Meal Deals Podcast. I'm your host, Victoria Pham, with
Eric Wang
and
Rafael Perez.
And today we're going to talk about how to get over rejection.
Yes, rejection. Rejection fucking hurts. So
yeah, you experienced it 3 months ago. Got him.
I think everyone experiences rejection.
Yeah, facts. Yeah.
It's not like I'm the only one who faces
rejection. But it doesn't have to be relationships. It can be also jobs and
school. Yeah, school.
And yeah. Rejection isn't everything. I think rejection kind of is not exactly failure, but it goes hand in hand with failure.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say, or would you say like rejection is exactly the same thing as a failure? Because no. A failure means like
it goes
you could try something, but you just happen to fail. Rejection is just like straight up, you just was not able.
Or someone wouldn't actually want you to at least be part of something that will be in their life.
Well, I mean, I don't know,
this sounds really big, but
I think that rejection is more of you're kind of putting your own vulnerability into someone else's hands, whereas failure, it can be like, it could be something.
I feel like it's both. Because vulnerability, not, I don't think it's exactly the same, but like vulnerability is also part of failure. Because you're willing to give up a vulnerable part of yourself, like to try something. Mm-hmm. Rejection, I think, is the same process.
Well, the thing is that for rejection is that you're giving someone else the decision to make.
Yeah.
While the failure is what you expect yourself to do, you know. And then if you fail something, you know when you fail. But when you when it comes to rejection, you're basically asking someone
for their opinion,
quote-unquote opinion or their thoughts on something, you know? Yeah. It's kind of like something like that.
I like that distinction. That actually makes more sense.
Yeah.
That actually makes more sense.
That's what I was headed towards until you're like, oh, it's basically...
Because I didn't really agree like, when you said failure is... When you said rejection is just vulnerability. I saw vulnerability and failure
I think that why you say it's kind of the same is because you're probably thinking like... Because you're asking someone their opinion, but at the same time, you're also expecting yourself expecting them to say yes to you.
Yeah.
So that's why it also combined with failures.
Yeah. I agree with you. When you like, I feel like it could be a byproduct. Like failure can be a byproduct of rejection because you're like you said, you're thinking that you're going to get approved of what you want to be accepted on, but you happen to be rejected. So you failed trying to get accepted.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I think the best way to talk about this topic, I mean, I think that, you know, our past podcast has been very much about our beliefs and our own opinions, but I think that we should share some stories because I feel as if we've had a lot.
I have a good amount of rejections.
Me just too, like, yeah.
Different types of rejections too. Right. Like not just relationship, but like career wise, academic wise, I could say fitness wise in terms of rejection. There's a lot of things I can speak on. What about you, Raphael?
For me, I'm sorry.
I wonder if they caught that gulp of water.
Yeah. Sorry. I was thinking as I was drinking my water. Yeah, but I have some interesting stories when it comes to rejections, especially how do I say. It can be relationship wise, and also it can be also when it comes to college.
Yeah, I think the first example I could think of that a lot of people can relate to, especially for people our age, is college. I would say the first rejection I thought of was college rejection, especially that since now we're all college freshmen. During high school senior year, we all apply to these colleges, and you either get, in the end, accepted or rejected. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a middle line if you get waitlisted, deferred, but most of the time, it's either accepted or rejected. So, I would say at least 95 to 99% of like all students who apply to at least five colleges, they have been rejected by at least one college, and they have experience by. They have experienced rejection, and sometimes the rejections that some students face, they have it has a more impact on them. Or to some students, it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think for my case, in previous podcast episodes, I talked about how University of Pennsylvania was my first choice, and I was worried about the rejection. So in that mind, leading up to the rejection, I kept thinking, what if the rejection did happen? So I was placing a lot of pressure and priority on upon this decision for this, for, I guess you could say, lack of a better term, this entity, UPenn, the school, to validate me as like as my worth. So leading up to the rejection, if I hadn't, which I'm like thankful for, I approached in the right steps of how to handle the rejection. If I hadn't handled the potential rejection the right way, then it probably would have left a more negative impact on me than if it were positive. But I'm really glad that I approached it the right way, where it did lead into a positive impact, which we can talk about later in this podcast episode. How to get rid of rejection is how to approach or like handle the rejection the right way instead of the wrong way.
Yeah, I have. I was kind of a little bit like, when it comes for me, when it comes to rejection, I don't see it as such like, well, like we talked like way much earlier, like 4 minutes or 5 minutes ago, about how we rejection can also be known as a failure. I never seen it that way. It's just that for me, when it comes to rejection, there's always another path for me. So I never really, when it comes to rejection, especially also in college, for some, well, at the moment as I was applying to college, I was very naive, and I was applying to Carnegie Mellon, UPenn, Drexel, Arcadia, Penn State, and three of those schools rejected me. And I didn't see, you know, I didn't see that as a bad thing. It was just something that, I guess, like, you know, it was, in the back of my head, I always think there's always that opportunity, no matter what, you know? Like, so, because the thing is that, especially in today's world, when it comes to rejection, a lot of people always think, well, from what I have seen, is that when a lot of people are being rejected by something, especially something like college, you know, they think like, you know, this is the only path I can go to, you know, and probably their dream they want to go to, you know, but in reality, there's always a different way or a different path that you can go to. So when it, for me, when it comes to applying to college, I wasn't really worrying of like what college you go to, because there's always an opportunity for me for everything. As long as I still have the same goal or a same approach to that goal, then I think I'll be fine.
As soon as you said that, it's even if I get rejected by these colleges, there's always another path for me. I agree with you 100%. I think that's absolutely the right mindset to have. Ironic, because we talked about having the right mindset last episode, and you literally adopted those principles. And I think that's it shares a lot of those principles on how to get over rejection.
Yeah. I mean, I know that my college application process was, you know, not traditional in a sense, because I think I really overestimated how I was going to perform. And of course, senior year of high school, I was known to be a procrastinator, like we said
there's going to be a lot of overlapping things in our podcast. Yeah.
So even though I knew that I was a huge procrastinator, that I wasn't the best or the most disciplined scholar at our school, I always thought that I could be the 1% that could really, that 1% chance of getting in, even though I was, you know, what would you say? Just not up to par with the statistics and the
underachiever.
Not even underachiever. I think what I was trying to say is I wasn't up to par with the statistics or the kind of person that these really high colleges wanted.
You weren't their standard.
Yeah, I wasn't their standard. Exactly.
That was literally me.
So, So when I was applying, I applied to UPenn, of course. We're all Philly kids, so we all applied to UPenn. Even kids that didn't, I'm, that's another thing. To apply to Ivy Leagues and to apply to, you to lower acceptance rate colleges, you really have to kind of have an ego about yourself to think that you can do it. And you build yourself up, you go through the whole process of writing the perfect essay, or in your mind is the perfect essay, and you go to the interviews and you try to make yourself the best candidate, and then overall to get rejected from that, your ego immediately, it's almost like Tetris, you know, it just falls down immediately. Mm-hmm. And one of the colleges that I applied to was Juilliard, and I talked about it in the podcast before, that I went all the way to New York, and it was in secret, and it was something that I was really passionate about because I spent my own money on it, and I ended up getting rejected, and it was one of the best lessons that I could have ever learned about myself and about the people at a performing arts school and like a higher education. And I think that especially being vulnerable and in that place where I didn't really know anyone and I didn't really know anything about New York and the performing arts there, it really showed how much courage I needed more of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when I was rejected from all of my other colleges and then I got rejected from Juilliard, I realized that maybe I need to take a step back and really focus on if I'm doing the right thing, if I really am admirable enough, or if I'm really challenging myself enough to even be put in one of those positions. Because to go to an Ivy League school or to go to a lower acceptance rate school, it takes a lot of hard work. And, you know, I mean, there are a lot of kids that don't deserve it, but most of the time, a lot of the kids are deserving of it.
Yeah. But, I also applied to Ivy League school, and you guys probably be wondering, like, if you guys wanted to compare yourself, what the SAT score was like and whatever. First of all, I was way below the standard as they were expecting. I had a below score of what they wanted when it comes to SATs. I guess also the classes that I needed to take, it wasn't even that hard or whatever. At least statistically, I wasn't showing them what they wanted to be shown.
To see, yeah.
But I felt as though, like, in the essay, you know, I felt like at least it would show me that I want to work harder. And I can improve myself if I'll be there. And they didn't think, you know, I would be the great candidate for even to be the student in those Ivy League schools. But even that, it didn't stop me from, you know, doing what I want to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck that. I still do what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I think one of the worst the worst things about college is everyone believes that a lower acceptance rate school or an Ivy League school is the best thing for you. I mean, it can lead to... It doesn't even need to. Or... It doesn't guarantee you a great job,
it's
a great
career.
It's
not universal, right?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the myths of college. It's that, you know, if you graduate from a 90% acceptance rate school, you're going to be a failure. Or if you go into a 6% acceptance rate school, if you go to Stanford, like, you're going to become CEO of your own company. And it really depends on the person. And there's really just a 1% of those people that are really willing to make it.
Mm-hmm. Even, I remember Malcolm Gladwell was even talking about it in one of his writings, that he said the statistics he researched on, that out of the applicants who applied to University of Pennsylvania and Penn State Maine campus and got accepted to both, out of the applicants who went to Penn State Maine and said University of Pennsylvania, they were way more successful than those who went to mm-hmm. University of Pennsylvania. So it's not exactly the school that you go to that guarantees you that universal success of what everyone thinks
mm-hmm.
you would get. But it matters on the person and the work ethic and how willing they're able to take it that far and see, push the envelope and see that untapped potential. I think that at every school, regardless of how low the acceptance rate is, there's always going to be students who are not as hardworking as you think
mm-hmm.
at any school. I could guarantee you that. There's always going to be out the good bunch of good apples. There's always going to be like a person who's like really lazy mm-hmm. and just happens to get there either from being really good at test taking, really good, you know, academically smart, or they have some connection or they're just able to finesse their way into the system, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that person is always going to be more successful than the underdog at a community college who transferred to another state college and worked mm-hmm. his or her butt off. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you guys that, especially for rejection for the college process, it could be really nerve-wracking because from what I experienced, rejections can be you wait a couple weeks or like a month or so or like whatever how long that process is. From my experience, the trend is the longer you wait for that rejection, the more impactful that rejection will be. And that college process is definitely a big example for that, because when high school students like us, when we applied for these colleges and we hear back from their decisions, it takes at least 3 months. And imagine those 3 months of like waiting, and you're going to school and going to high school, you're constantly thinking about it because you're a high school senior and you're thinking about graduation, because that's most of the time what most students go straight to college. That's very nerve-wracking. And like hearing back if the decision happens, and then even if you did not get rejected, then tuition prices and mm-hmm. then everything else, and like after you get rejected, and the most nerve-wracking factor of rejection, if you do get rejected, is wondering why you got rejected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like just in rejection in general, like in college, you're asking, if you get rejected, why did you get rejected? So that's why you feel like, oh, I thought my essay was good, I thought my extracurriculars, or is my SAT scores not high enough, or it's just like, is it me? You're playing, you're undermining yourself, like you're undervaluing yourself. Yeah. And then how I felt, like I think I approached my rejection for UPenn, is that if they reject me, then whatever, I deserve better. That's I think that's the right mindset to have, is to think that there's always a better path for me, like Raphael said. And that's a hard thing for a lot of people to really get into their heads when they face the rejection. They feel like they're just trapped. They're just like, it's just like, I'm just not it. Like, I'm not good enough.
Yeah, I think it's because it's such a blow to their self-esteem, right, to their ego. Because if you're thinking about high school, it's such an, or especially college admissions, it's such a accumulation of everything that you've quote unquote worked for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you didn't live up to your expectations by senior year, and then you get rejected, you feel, and this sounds so hyperbolic, but you almost feel like everything you worked for was not worth it.
Yeah, it feels like a waste of time.
And that's why senioritis, like, it becomes so terrible.
Because you work so hard, uh-huh. and then to hear back a rejection, or even acceptance for some students who do, they get accepted to your school, now they feel burnt out because they work so hard to try to get that result.
That's why I tell so many people that do what you want to do. Don't do something that will just make, you know, kind of makes yourself look good on your resume, you know? Because the thing is that, especially when, if that's something you don't really want to do, but you still do it just so you can look good on your resume and somehow be rejected, that will, in most cases, that would actually be for nothing, you know? Right. And also, like you guys said, it's just the worst part about a college application. It's not working on an essay or building your grade up. It's being rejected by a college, because, like you guys said earlier, being rejected in college, they don't say why you got rejected. They just say, thank you for applying, but you just got rejected. But I hope you have a great future. It's just like, and then a lot of people that just get rejected, they're gonna be like, bro, what the fuck, like, where, but why, you know, like, it's just like to the point they just want to call the admission and be like, yo, tell me why I got rejected.
College decisions are so subjective. And when you get rejected, you feel like it's objective. It's just like, it's just because I'm not good enough.
Yeah,
like your ego is destroyed. And I'm not trying to rant about college, but like for colleges with lower acceptance rates, for the standards for their standards for average applicants need to be at least, I would say, near perfect grades, GPA-wise, to even get through the front door. And mm-hmm. I don't think that's really the right way to evaluate students, because I think high school, or just educating yourself in general, is learning through rejection, learning through failures and successes. Mm-hmm. And that should be shown through your grades. That should be shown with, like, low, like when you go from, like, low grades to to improving your grades. You should see that slope instead of like straight flat grade of like, yeah, here you always being successful. Because a lot, when you apply to these colleges, you're only showing resumes of your successes. You're never showing resumes of your failures. And I think that's what a lot of people like exaggerate on their applications, and that's how they get into these colleges.
Mm-hmm. So. Which is in the most basic terms, especially I told you guys this, especially for seniors, is that it's never about where you go, it's how you use the resources. How you use the resources. You can just go up to a free library of Philadelphia and just learn how to code. You don't need to go to even go to school to even learn those things.
I could graduate from like literally Harvard. This is a big exaggeration, but I still agree with this. Like, if I could graduate from Harvard with like very lazy effort, I just happened to get into Harvard. I tried to major in something easy. I just happened to get out with a degree on it. But if a person is willing to able to put in the work, like go to any college, go to the library, read online, read forums online, listen to other people, get mentored, and like really put in the blood, sweat, and tears, then the Harvard degree won't matter. The Harvard won't matter in the long run, because what matters is how you respond to things and how you how you approach it.
Yeah, and I think that people really underestimate. People overestimate the name of the school and really underestimate the discipline and almost the motivation to network with people. So, example, earlier when you said the Malcolm Gladwell example, you know, about Penn State versus UPenn, I mean, I'm in Penn State, and I can tell you that Penn State has the biggest, like, alumni networking community. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's not easy to get a job afterwards, but if you know someone, or if you tell someone that you're from Penn State and you also happen to connect with other Penn State alumni that happen to be successful, like, people love to hear that you're from Penn State. I can't speak for UPenn. I don't go there. And I can't speak about the alumni community there or even the networking community there, but Penn State is so broad and so big that if you meet anyone that goes to or is in that community, you can immediately make connections. And I think that people underestimate that so much, because it's not about where you are, it's about who you are. Quoting BoJack Horseman. And I think that that's so key. You know, you can go anywhere. You can really try to put yourself in a different place and think that this is how I'm going to reinvent myself in a new, different environment. But if you are still the same old person that you were before you moved, before, you know, you decided to go to this different college, different state, then that didn't change anything about who you are. You know, you're in a different place, but you're still the same you. And people really overestimate the name. Yes, you could probably get a good, stable job with that degree.
Statistically, you could probably get a good job.
But it's also about, college is about the whole experience, your own personal growth. Yeah. And learning how to network and knowing how to connect with others outside of your degree, outside of your school name, that's bigger than any paper that a school can give to you.
Ivy Leagues isn't magic. You have everywhere you have to put in the work, like regardless of where you go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So enough rants about colleges. I think that was I felt like that was the most relevant example we could talk about, because we literally went straight out of high school into college. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good rejection to segue into.
Yeah, it's a very tangible subject.
Right.
But
everyone can relate.
If we are to talk about rejection, I think that one of the topics of rejection, or one of the subtopics of rejection that we can all relate to the most, is romantic rejection, or just relationship wise.
Yeah. So, I feel like when you think of rejection, people think of like romanticism, mm-hmm. or like relationship wise. So I think we all experience rejections romantic wise. So does anyone like to start?
I don't know. It puts us all in a very vulnerable position.
Yeah, it does put everyone in a vulnerable point.
That is true, yeah.
I would say rejection, just all types of perspectives, like...
rejections is that I'm not going to let, like, rejection, you know, affect me and my work. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people, they seem to, like... Or even people around them, you know? Because the thing is that certain other can be, like... You know, they can reject you because of someone you love. And then, like, you know, you got hurt, whatever. That doesn't mean that you get to be an asshole to someone else, you know? What the hell?
Oh, yeah.
What do they have to do with something that you love?
That's not fair to anyone.
Yeah, or, like, or you'd be like, oh, yeah, I don't feel like working no more because I just got rejected. Or they just don't notice me, whatever. It's just, like...
People get so jaded. And I get really sad when I see people that are like that. Like, I know that it's so cliche and weird that... It's so cliche to say, oh my god, I completely lost my train of thought. It's okay. Completely cliche to say, you know, I'm completely over being in a relationship. I'm going to be single for the rest of my life. But it just makes me so sad when I hear people say that. Because that's being in a relationship, falling in love, that's one of the greatest things that could ever happen. Mm-hmm. To being a human, you know what I mean? And I'm gonna get really philosophical and weird, but I genuinely believe in that, you know? And the idea of finding someone and falling in love with them and, mm-hmm. and being able to, you know, grow with the other person, that's so important. And when people give up on that so easily, it genuinely hurts my heart. Mm-hmm. I've met too many people that are like that.
Yeah, it really sucks. But
it's always guys too. I'm sorry.
Guys, I think it's both.
You think?
Yeah.
I am actually triggered. How dare you even mention?
I think I'm biased because you know I'm a guy. But I think girls, when they experience rejection, they initially experience it with like a lot of emotion. But I feel like they could get over it more easily than a guy were, because if a guy were to get rejected, it takes some time to get over it. But like once they get over it, it's still like. It lingers in them a bit longer.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, just like when from something that's romantic. First of all, it has to do with another person that you want that person to be in your life and together privately and stuff like that. And even after you got rejected or that person doesn't want to be your girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, even after that, you cannot just like. There's no such thing as actually completely be over it. There's no such thing as that. At least I don't believe. It's just that right after that, you know, you still feel for that person, but you're gonna have to respect their decision of, you have to respect their decision of, like, not being with you, you know? You know,
why are you laughing so much, Victor?
No, because
Eric's face is just so funny.
He's just thinking really hard.
I'm just, like, processing it.
He's stroking his beard like Whitman. It's so funny. But,
continue.
No, Raph is right.
Yeah, it's just that you still have a little love in, like, within your heart, you know? But you still, the best thing that you can really do is just move on. You just go through your day, you know? Don't let any of that... If you feel hurt, then don't let any of that affect the things that you love to do.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with the person that you love or like. Depends on how you define love or liking someone.
I agree with you 100%.
But once again, I feel as if this the only way to really talk about this is to really share our own experiences.
Uh-huh.
So, who wants to start? I mean...
I'll start.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I wouldn't say like I'm a veteran. Like I'm a veteran with like scars of like rejection.
Oh, you're a new kid.
Yeah, I'm a new kid.
You're definitely new to this.
And, like, romantic wise, I mean, there's a first time for everything.
Yeah.
I think it's because the reason why I'm kind of people can would consider me a late person is that I never really took the step forward into really making myself vulnerable to try to see if I could be in a relationship. Because I've always had, not saying I'm a player, but I've always had some sort of like interest, romantic interest in someone, or that there's lots of people who had romantic interest in me, but I just never took the step forward and like accepted it, because I always felt like either one, I made an excuse where I'm so busy and I don't think it's like right at that time, where it could be argued that sometimes it's just not right to have a relationship at a specific point in time in your life. Mm-hmm. And two, I just felt like I was worried about getting rejected. That's how I felt like when I did get rejected. That's why that my first rejection was so impactful on me, because the reason why I made the step forward is because I never thought I was going to get rejected, because I had like more, I was more confident in myself that I was going to get accepted, because I thought I was for sure going to be in a relationship with that specific person. And I think that's what messed me up, is that if it was just like a simple rejection, not saying it was like a simple like walk on the street, like I see this girl and I try to ask for a number and like hang out with her, she simply rejects me, that's rejection. And I'm fine with that. That's just a normal rejection. But for my rejection, it's just more like I knew that this person specifically had some sort of interest in me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I was afraid that it wasn't like for sure that it was an interest in me, but I kind of felt like maybe she is interested in me. So I'm interested in her. And now that I made the steps forward because I thought she was interested in me, and finding out that she rejected me makes me feel like I did something wrong. Makes me feel like, well, didn't this person like me? I thought she was interested in me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm interested in her, and then she turns out to reject me. Makes me feel like we talked in the, like just in the beginning of the podcast of, well, what did I do wrong? Like, there must be something wrong with me.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that I maybe it's like the way I look now is like, it's because maybe I went on too strong, or maybe I'm just like too much of a nice person per se.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like I did something wrong. But I think that's how I felt initially. And I went through like the whole like sad phase, and just like, I guess that's how it works.
Who hasn't gone through the sad phase?
Who hasn't gone through the sad phase? I agree. The sad phase. I agree with that. But not the. But like, it hurts as a first heartbreak.
Yeah.
And just like, it just hurts as a first. Ooh, with your first heartbreak, never hurt so bad.
And I think that in general, whenever you are thinking about how someone rejected you, and you're thinking about, oh yeah, is there something wrong with me? It also just fits so well with Eric's personality of just constantly being obsessed with self-improvement. So even when I say, it's not you, don't worry, it's not you, you just gotta respect her choice, he just thinks, oh my god, what was wrong with me? What did I do? What did I do wrong? I just tell him, there's nothing that you could have done any better to fix that situation.
That's facts, though.
You know? And I'm saying that in general, you know? There are so many people that think, what did I do wrong? There must be something wrong with me for that person to not be interested in me anymore. And I just want to tell them that it's not you. You just have to understand and respect the other person's decision. And this goes for girls, too. Because, believe me, there's a bunch of nice guys in the world. There's a bunch of nice girls, too, that are constantly saying...
There's a lot of fish in the sea.
Yeah. No, there are a bunch of girls that say... You know the meme of being a nice guy or being a nice girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's always girls that say, I'm just so loyal. I'm really pretty. I would never be obsessed with you. Why can't you date me? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you gotta just respect the other person.
That's actually kind of a little bit almost like for college, you know? You did all this work for college and stuff. It's also like, the same thing for romance me? Before you, like, confronted that person saying, like, hey, I like you, you know? But, like, you know, before that, you bought them a little small gift or I don't know, did something like... did something like, you know, you do like, your best hard work to get that person's attention to you, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
You feel like you're entitled, but you're not entitled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just almost like, you just want to show them, you know, hey, I would like to give you my gift, and that gift is my love, you know? Like, I'm giving you my love and affection, pow, 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 you know? You throw all the hearts and stuff. Sorry. But, like, and then, like, you know, that person's like, psych, you know, you just, like, they just, like, block everything from you. Now, you know, you just got rejected from all this love and affection, and now it's just like, damn. That's kind of fucked up. I did all this work for you, then you just, you know, you just say no to this?
Yeah. I mean, I feel as if my first feelings of rejection, or my first experiences with rejection, was actually when I was much younger than in the past 4 years of high school. You know, and why are you laughing over there?
We're laughing so much.
What is going on?
Whatever we have to say, I was just relating to it. But keep going, Victoria.
But anyway,
I guess this is sad boys hours.
I experienced rejection very early in my life, and you know, another thing that we didn't really talk about was familial rejection, which it's gonna get really sad. But before we get into really, really sad stuff, in the second
like
or third,
this isn't sad enough.
Yeah, in the second or third grade, I really liked this kid, and I remember feeling really insecure about myself. And it's really sad to hear whenever girls at such a young age feel really insecure about themselves, and they want to look better or look a specific way. And that's how I felt for a lot of my life, for most of my life. And it took me a long time to really understand, well, obviously, that it's in my own hands to be the better person.
Mm-hmm.
So my first experiences with rejection was my first crush, obviously. And it actually impacted a lot of who I am today, because I grew up really insecure, and then being rejected by that and being called like really fat and really ugly, that caused a lot of problems in my recent years of just really accepting who I am and who I looked, because I've never been really skinny. I've never really accepted what I looked like. And that's why for a long time before I discovered makeup and really started to work on myself, I was really scared of looking into the mirror or taking pictures, because I just felt really terrible about myself. And that's why right now I'm still overcoming rejection and overcoming those feelings, because my insecurities have had power over me for a really long time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it all stemmed from my childhood of just constantly being rejected, and not just by other boys that I liked when I was a kid, but from my family as well, and hearing the words of like being called fat and being called ugly every single day. And it really hurt. It really sucked. And being rejected because you don't fit a certain image that person wants from you, and then you kind of don't know what to even do with yourself afterwards, you become really confused about who you are and what you can achieve later in the future. And it got really, really quiet and sad, but
no, it's okay.
I think that that first moments of rejection really impacted who I am now and how I view rejection. And I'm not gonna pretend like we haven't all rejected people either. We're not all victims.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
We're not all victims. We have all
happens
rejected
on
other
side.
People.
We are the rejected,
and
we're the assholes too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I think it's so normal to admit
assholes.
To that.
Yeah, especially this also goes out for the people that rejects other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to, you know, as a guy that has been rejected, you know, I know what it feels like to be really heartbroken and stuff. So for people that, like, you know, has to deal with rejecting other people because they like you but you don't like them, it's you might as well try to be the nicest person as possible when it comes to that, because you don't want other people to be heartbroken because you were like, ew, I don't want you, whatever.
I think that the most important thing is to know that your opinion is respected, you know. And I think that both parties need to understand that, okay, you're interested in me, I'm not interested in you, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if it were me rejecting someone, I'd want the other person to respect my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And not force me or push me, because
for sure.
I've also been in this situation where someone was trying to force me to be with them or to keep talking to them. And I just kept telling them, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to. And you can't ask me why.
The most negative mindset about rejection, well, I see in most relevant in a romantic perspective is like getting mad at the person who rejected you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you mentioned, I agree with you. You have to respect their decision.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You can't make the person love you. You can't make the person like you.
That's for sure. Yeah.
For one, if you make the person like you, then it still wouldn't be the same vibe.
Yeah. Like the question one has, like, would it even be genuine anymore?
Yeah.
Would it be authentic?
Yeah.
You know, there's almost like kind of like, for some reason, you guys broke up, right? And then one of those two partners was like, hey, we should still be together. But that person doesn't, but somehow be together. Would it be the same, you know? For at that moment, just going to be like a waste of time.
Yeah.
And especially for people, for like third person perspective, like their friends are probably going to be like, yo, I mean, I'm just saying, but you know, I don't think this relationship is going to work, you know? Like, what is this, you know?
Right. When you mentioned your first crush, it reminded me of my first crush. I remember in second grade, I had this crush on this girl. I'm not going to say her name because...
Privacy.
Yeah, privacy, for private sakes. And who knows, she may listen to the podcast one day in her life. Or maybe she will listen to this podcast specifically. Who knows, just keeping it safe out there. But, you know, I don't want my name wrecked. But her, I remember it was like second grade and it was like the end of the day. And you know how like all the kids like clean up and it's like everybody clean up. Clean up. So everybody's like, we had chalkboards in our school, in our classroom. So we were had wipes and we were wiping down the chalkboard and we were like organizing the markers and the desk. And I remember precisely, I liked this girl and I remember I watched like High School Musical at home. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to write down a song to put in my notebook. So I wrote down a song in my notebook. And then like she was cleaning the chalkboard and I came up to her and I was like, I'm such a bad singer. But, like, as a second grade, it's probably cute because, like, who cares if you sing good or bad as a second grader?
Yeah.
But I was singing to her, and I was like, you like me and all. And then she just laughed a little bit, like, ha, 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 and she just walked away. I was just like, bruh. Yeah. that's just the most iconic example, just like, bruh. And then...
Like I said, you've been doing all the work for her, and then she just rejected that shit.
Yes, I experienced this not way too many times, but now, looking back at my elementary rejections, it's still the same trend. But
you know, I actually got a detention because I was writing my crush's name in cursive.
Really?
Yeah, and then I got a detention afterwards.
Wow. Where though?
What do you mean? In second grade?
Yeah, like writing where?
In my notebook.
In your classroom?
Just that? Yeah, just like writing his name.
That teacher's mean.
And then my teacher was just like, you don't know anything about love. Like, don't ever say that you love
him. Wow, that teacher has some mad rejection problems.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So when that happened, I just remember telling her, like, I don't know what it means. I was just, I remember it now. And saying that retrospectively, I didn't know what the word meant. I think I just heard it and it sounded good, so I wanted to say it.
Love is a strong word, but I want to finish the story. For some reason, I don't know what's up with me, because like, not saying I've like let the person on, but like as we got older, it's just like I don't have experience, so I'm like really reluctant into trying to get in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, yeah, I don't know about this. So I remember I went to this other high school near Kappa. I'm just saying it because it's just a high school. Academy of Palumbo in Philadelphia. So I went to this Halloween event. It's called a haunted house event, where it's just like I go into this school with my friend, and it's just like a haunted like house
theme. Was it in Fright Fest?
No.
Oh, it was at Palumbo.
Oh, it was, okay.
So the theme was The Purge, because that was when, I don't know which movie. I think it was like the first one, or I don't know which Purge version, but that was when it was like really popular.
The Purge, Anarchy. The Purge election year.
I think it was the Purge election year, actually.
Okay.
So.
Did it have, like, the Liberty thingy?
Well, they had something to do with the president. That's all I remember.
Oh, yeah. It has to be an election year.
So I never watched The Purge. Yeah, don't, for you movie fans out there, like, hate me if you will, because I never watch movies. The last movie I watched was Toy Story 4, and before that was Star Wars The Force Awakens.
I never watched Part 1. Lion King.
So, that was, like, years ago. So, anyway, after that, I hang out with my friend. He left, and I met this other girl from my middle school, and then we haven't seen each other in so long. And then we were talking a little bit, and she was like, oh, do you remember her? And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember her. How is she? And I was like, oh, yeah, she's chill. You should follow her on Instagram. I was like, okay, bet. So I followed her on Instagram, and I was walking with my other friend, who I never seen in a long time in middle school, too. And I walked with her, too, and she was chilling, just trying to catch up with her. And so I was talking to the girl on Instagram, who happens to be the girl that rejected me in, like, second grade. And we were talking, but I felt like it was going towards a direction I didn't want it to go towards. So I was just like, I'm not feeling this, chief. And then at night, she was texting me, and she was, like, saying she was drunk. And, like, I was just like, oh, I just left her on red. And it just, yeah. I was just like, because, like, I don't want to talk to a person and, like,
intoxicated,
yeah. You know, because, like, thoughts are different when you're intoxicated.
Yeah.
So she's chill now. I mean, she still likes my photos on Instagram. I still like her. It's just chilling. But, like, it was just, like, a weird process. I just want to mention that because it just, your first crush reminds me of my first crush. It just happens to be so innocent second grade. And now it happens to, like, oh, whoa, this is not going where I want it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember one time I kind of rejected this other person too. It was like freshman year coming to the Kappa. Mm-hmm. And some girl who was a junior at Central. And this is my first DM like ever on Instagram. And she DM'd me and she was like saying stuff about like, it was in a tone that she was interested in. And then she asked how old I was. I was like, I'm literally like 15. So like, I don't know about you. And then she was like, oh, I'm like 17. I'm just like, cool. And I just left her. And so that was really weird. But to come back to the point, is like people reject other people, and we also reject other people and respect other people's decisions. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just
be respectful.
It goes back and forth. And like insecurity definitely is a thing you think about when you get rejected. Mm-hmm. Like definitely insecurity is a mm-hmm. big thing. So those are a couple of my kids' rejection stories in freshman year. I don't know who I was freshman year, literally. So.
Yeah. I think that one of the worst things about rejection is that people just don't try anymore. Oh. I mean, I talked about it just earlier when we were talking about, like, being jaded. Yeah, and people don't try anymore. People don't try to succeed relationship-wise or college-wise or in any other aspect of your life. You should always just try, you know, and getting rejected, but always having the courage to open up again and mm-hmm. and try again.
Yeah,
and
that sucks. You know, you just like I said, you just like once you've been rejected, please like don't let that affect, not even give up. You like don't let that affect someone else too. You know, like especially when, I guess you can say like, well, yeah, how you say it like.
Don't take out your anger on someone else because you got rejected.
I keep saying repetitively.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's repetitive, but like, you know, that's
repeatedly. That's the right word.
Me need to learn more English. But yes, but yeah, like I said, it's just especially to your friends too. Especially if you ever like, and this always happens, you know, when you have a crush on someone, you do damn well like been talking to your friends about it too, you know. And especially when your friends also was like, hey, I don't think you should do this or should you do that, right? And then like, you know, or somehow got rejected, right? And then like the friends gonna be like, you know, or you got rejected and then you got heartbroken and shit, and then like your friends gonna be like, I told you though, like, you know, we kind of like try and warn you this and stuff, you know, and then like you somehow release your anger on us, you know, it just won't be fair. Or like,
yeah,
I think a great thing to expand your perspective even after getting rejected is definitely hang out with your friends and like release your emotions with your friends.
Oh, it's in my English great
because it definitely helps you get over the rejection faster and mm-hmm. more maturely.
Just moving.
Rather than, like, living with that rejection forever and being really bitter about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember I was hanging out with Raphael and another friend, and I and our photographer and videographer, Kevin, who's part of the Meal Deals podcast team. Love him. He's currently busy right now, but he's been...
Always saucy. Follow him on Instagram.
Yeah. We were hanging out in a diner. Some diner restaurant where I was eating a lot of food, but I was talking to my other friend, and then I was telling him, like, I got rejected, and he's like, well, dude, like, you deserve better. And the fact that, like, everyone says that I deserve better, and me saying that there's something that I did wrong. It really shows like the true reality of things, where I feel like I'm being so arrogant about the truth and about how to get over the rejection. I'm feeling like I'm really bitter about it. Because if I were to like just live with that rejection alone, I'll just be really bitter about it. Like, I mean, like, yeah, this is what I did wrong. There's something wrong with me. But like having friends to hang out with, that out through the emotions with, and telling them, and my friends telling me that like literally you deserve better. Here's literally the tea. Here's the facts. Like,
yeah.
Spill the tea.
Here's the Carfax. Like literally the whole like statistic, the whole nine yards, and telling me like logically like. Yeah, I think I do deserve better. I mean, there is a better future for me, and I can't just live with the past forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big thing to realize, a big thing to know how to get a rejection is like approaching it and handling it the right way can make the rejection a beneficial lesson,
mm-hmm.
rather than a downfall.
Yeah,
I think that's a big thing to take away from.
I think with every single rejection, like you said, it can either be either one road or the other. There's never, I mean, and to really simplify it, there's usually just, you can turn it into something good or turn it into something really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and isn't it always better to turn it into something beneficial? I mean,
yeah,
people really love to wallow in their own misery.
Yeah,
and people do it instinctually.
But most of the time, especially when it comes to feelings, we react with emotions to start off like logically, you know, especially when it comes to like, rejection. So like, you know, some people that can't help but to like, you know, release their emotions, they have no choice but to go there, like to the emotional path instead of logical path that would benefit
them. I never said anything about logical and emotional.
Right, sorry.
You can go the beneficial, you can approach it in the right way emotionally and logically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but what I'm saying is that there are a lot of people who would rather become really, really bitter over it, and they don't realize it. They don't realize how detrimental that can be to your mental state and how you view relationships,
and
how you view the other gender.
And the people around them.
Yeah, and the people around them, too. And that's the whole point. Being aware. I mean, I understand that I say that all the time on this podcast. But being aware... Podcast. Being aware that you are becoming a whole... like, you're being a detriment to yourself. And being a detriment to your way of thinking and hindering yourself.
This reminds me about the last episode, how to have the right mindset. It's like, I mean, you responded negative to it. How does that benefit you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's literally no concrete, I would say, benefit that's going to happen from you being negative. You should just be positive about it and have a concrete benefit coming from towards it. I think I kind of explained it pretty bad, but I think that's the truth, is like why react so negative and stay bitter about it, where you might as well react to it in a beneficial way so it can help you learn more, be more mature about it, so you could approach it, so you can have like a better, a more evolving, more improving mindset about it.
Right.
You grow yourself out of that lesson in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So what did we talk about? So we talked about college.
We talked about college.
We talked about romantic. And you said we're going to talk about familial, or would you not? Would you rather not go there?
I think that, I mean, if you guys
want to...
Yeah. I mean, I think that
well,
I touched on
mine. What do you mean
mine.
By familial rejection? What do you mean by that?
I mean, I think... Like I said earlier, like, just... They have this very precise image of who their child should be. And when you're not that... certain image or that certain person that they wanted you to be, they kind of resent you for it. And I think that that's one of the worst things that you could do to your child as a parent, is
definitely,
you know,
especially as a child.
Yeah
That skews your whole perspective on life.
Yeah. And I mean, personally, me growing up with that, I told you I grew up with a lot of insecurity, because the way that I looked and the way that I acted didn't align with the way that my parents wanted me to be.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Especially for my family. My family are really known to, they just like, I guess you can say a working family, you know, all they knew is just the working perspective on life and stuff. You know, me as a kid that really liked to study and to learn new things every day, or at least like something. You know, I'm like the only kid that played like video game in this family. The only kid that draws, and the only kid, you know, I guess you could say like.
You're different.
Yeah, I'm just very different from the rest of the family. You know, like, some people may not even can tell from me and my family. You know, except, you know, we kind of look alike. That's only really like way that you can already tell that I'm
that you're part of family. Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm part of this family. But you know, aside from that, just the fact that I'm very different. My parents, they can't, not that they reject me, but also they can't understand me or understand what I do. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they just like, hey, you need to do some work, you need to do this and that. I was like, well, I'm ready to want to study, you know?
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I think that to really recap, or not even recap, or to put into a list at almost how important or how detrimental rejection can be in terms of like college, or like in terms of school, in terms of work, in terms of relationships, and in terms of family, I say that a lot of the feelings that we feel towards rejection are often rooted in childhood and rooted in how our first moments of rejection really impacted our lives. And it's really funny because sharing all of our stories from childhood, it really opens up a lot about how about how impactful those stories really are. And it really reveals how we've kind of navigated rejection of our lives recently.
Yeah, that's why it's the best way to turn something. When you work on something so hard and you get rejected from it, that work that you have done, turn it into something else. You mm-hmm. know? Or at least, like, if it can turn into something else, trying to, I don't know, say work your way around that, you know? Or, keep working, yeah. Just keep moving on. That's the
keep moving forward.
Even though
it hurts so bad.
Yeah, that's the thing though. Like just simply saying, "Hey, you gotta move on." That's not gonna help people. You know, like the best thing. Instead of saying move on, just say, "Okay, I think that you should do this. And I can help you with this." You know, you just guide them through instead of just guide them. Just saying it. Because if you say something to someone, "Hey, it's the best thing you can do is move on," and then like the next question the rejected will say is. Like how am I supposed to move on? How, you know? And it will get them more angry or more upset or more sad, you know? So the best thing is you'd be like, hey, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Do you want to do this with me or whatever, you know? Something, you know? Do something. Because if you're doing nothing,
just do it.
You just lock in with your brain and you keep making all these different scenarios and different fake scenarios that will probably, likely will never happen.
Yeah.
Biologically, our brain... This sounds so like scientific and like so robot like, but biologically our brain has a negative bias. When we like focus on something that's negative or something that's a danger to us, we focus on that. And that's what makes us survive and evolve and keep living. And that's where we are now. But in terms of like societal problems or just like relationship problems, work, college, rejected or heartbroken, we tend to focus on that negative subject so much that we get tunnel vision. We ignore all the elements or all the things that surround us that we should be grateful for and that we should realize again. And it's okay to vent out your emotions in an initial phase because that's just part of the natural process of getting over rejection or in any rejection. Because if that rejection was important to you, then you're for sure going to be sad about it. But to know that being aware of this rejection and to learn from the rejection and treat it as like as a lesson rather than a downfall will impact your life so much better for the future. Even if it doesn't look like it for now in the present, I will guarantee that it will impact you better in the future if you treat it as a beneficial lesson for your mindset because it helps expand your perspective. Because I personally believe that this sounds so... As coming from an 18-year-old, it sounds so philosophical and like really deep and like whoa, this is crazy. This is really pushing it, Eric. But like, I really do believe that when you're 8, you're succeeding at life if you have a different perspective when you're 50 than if you were 18, because the point of life is to grow and like develop yourself.
Yeah.
So that I think that's like what I feel like can summarize our whole discussion about getting over rejection.
Yeah, and I think that the most important thing to remember is that life can be so much grander and so much bigger than the tunnel vision that you have on a certain problem or a certain situation where you were rejected, and just to keep being optimistic and have that law of attraction and practice it.
Don't lose the motivation. Do not lose what you want to do. Do not lose nothing that is about you. Don't lose any of that.
Yeah.
Keep moving forward. Move on.
I think this is a great episode. Great episode topic. Great episode topic that we talked about.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll see you guys next week. All right.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Dab on the bitches.